shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. It's Friday night, and I'm Katie Nordgren.
It's Friday the 13th, and I'm Chris Jeppa.
Ooh! And we brought a sentient butcher knife to be our guest today.
That's me, a sentient butcher knife.
It's actually the beautiful voice behind the Sea Hags theme song, Hillary McNaughton, is here.
Hey, Hillary.
I'm a voice that lives inside a seashell.
Oh my god, are you Ariel's voice? Have you been Ariel's voice this whole time?
No, I'm a different voice in a different seashell.
Oh, gosh. Were you also put there by Ursula the Sea Witch?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, fair enough. You did say that that's what you'd say if you didn't want to talk about something we started talking about.
I figured I'd practice.
Do you want to delete this whole conversation that we've had about you being in a seashell?
No, that was just practicing.
You're just practicing your boundaries?
I'll let you know when it's a real safe word out.
Okay.
Did we set a safe word for this episode?
No,
yet?
I'm just going to say I don't want to talk about it, and then I'll be like, really,
and then we'll
guys,
be like, do you mean it this time? You'd be like, yeah, and then we'll know.
Yeah. Because we're respectful people.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. I assume I'll just say I don't want to talk about that, and then we'll just talk about something else.
Oh, yeah. That.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing to do, and it's something that most people are terrified by.
Yeah.
That's why I'm just practicing.
We're just practicing.
We were talking about that over dinner over the last couple of days about like, hey, wouldn't it be nice if everyone just said what they meant and then everyone else was just okay saying yes or no to those things and then everyone was okay hearing those things back? Wouldn't that be so cool?
It would be pretty cool. It takes a lot of practice.
And you learn it young. So I told my mom a story of like a little kid that I was hanging out with as a nephew of a friend, and he was like, can I play video games with you? And I was like, sure. And his mom took him aside and was like, honey, like, you know, you need to let people, he's a pretty hyperactive kid, and he does need to learn to sort of read the room a little bit sometimes. But she was like, honey, sometimes people say yes and they don't mean it. They're just saying that to be nice. And I was like, can I just interrupt? Like, kid, I did mean it. Like, you can definitely hang out with me while we play video games, but, like, I will tell you when I don't want to hang out. So, like, you can trust me that I'm not just saying it to be nice. And he, like, his eyes got all wide. He was just like, really? It's like, yeah, you can trust.
You're a cool adult giving it to me straight?
But it was kind of nice. It's like, I get what his mom was trying to teach him, but that's actually not a nice lesson to be like, people lie to you just to be nice and they don't want you around. Ooh.
It's a partial lesson, at least.
I know.
It's kind of like, people are not good at expressing what they want because they've been told that it's not okay to ask for what they want.
But, like, if you said it like that, as opposed to just like,
she
just said yes because she's trying to be nice but doesn't actually want to hang out. And he's like, really?
Everyone who loves you is a lie.
That's kind of how it felt.
Yes.
So I had to interject. And I was like, kid, you can trust
me. Chris Sheppa had to interject?
Never. Perish the very thought.
I feel very called out right now.
You've been getting that a lot on the podcast.
Anyways, special call-out episode.
Call-out post. Chris Sheppa, pretty cool chick. Like her a lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Call the fuck out.
Actually, yeah, one of the most important people in my life, Chris Sheppa.
Just gonna say that
straight up.
Just right the fuck up there. Yeah.
Anyways, turns out this is actually Secret Compliment Cast. It's a lot of things happening
today,
everyone.
We've just been bait and switching you this whole time.
Buckle up
like
your seatbelts.
It's just a whirlwind of emotion.
I thought you said vermouth in there somewhere, and I was like,
I thought you said that imaginary men were ruining your life.
I mean, that's not
wrong. Invented men is ruining my life. Oh, I thought it was a fake man.
Well, real men are also ruining our life all the time.
Yeah, but that's just like background radiation at this point, isn't it? Aren't we used to that? Isn't our Geiger counter just constantly on?
A Geiger counter?
Fuck off.
Do you ever kick yourself off your own?
Grrr.
I guess, how do you replace yourself as co-host on a podcast?
Just like a fucking sock with some fun fur on it, basically. That's
no one can see, and it'll just be your same voice. Yeah. But we would all know that you were having to actually make the sock move with your hand.
Yeah, Katie
time.
Replaces herself with a sock puppet. That's for our 100th episode.
Yeah,
we should just replace ourselves with facsimiles.
We start digging for special goofs and things to do.
Anybody who has really good headphones at home is going to be able to hear the fabric chafing.
Just rustling.
So you're going to have to really do it.
Hang on.
That's not a sock. That's my toque filled with secret candies.
You have a toque filled with secret candies.
Okay,
that you
let's bring them
let's,
out.
Let's. What do we got? Ooh, okay, we got a Tootsie Roll.
Some of these aren't candy.
Well, I mean, yeah, this is an eraser. That says trick or treat on it. I bet you fucking anything it's shit at erasing things.
Do you want to try? You want to try erasing
no,
something?
No, because I don't have pencils. Because I'm not a
you
child.
Just try, here, I'm going to try erasing nothing.
We've
see
got
if it
a,
makes a mark. No, it's fine.
It set my book on fire. We've got a plastic cockroach.
Oh, gross.
Pretty cool.
That looks like a creepy crawler.
I was ready. We got a nice craft caramel.
Mm-hmm. So I want you to eat
this
it.
Is the ASMR podcast again. Just like crinkle the wrapper up to at the.
Not too close now.
Not too close. It's going to give someone an ear boner.
What's that? Chocolate?
It's like a lint chocolate, I think.
Yeah, it's the last square of chocolate that Ray gave me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. It's affection chocolate.
Yeah, it's affection chocolate.
And a whole bunch of Santa kisses.
And we got our boss.
Oh,
we
nice.
We got rockets, or what the Americans would call smarties.
Because Americans are wrong.
Well, they're wrong about a lot of things, unfortunately. Yeah. But, I mean, Canadians.
Smarties
also.
Are like M&Ms, but they melt in your hand as well as your mouth. And also, they're slightly flatter, and they have a very specific Smartie taste.
It's
and
a bit
they're
waxy.
Slightly more pastel.
It's a little bit waxy. They're
rockets are what Americans call Smarties. Yeah,
and they're just powder nightmares.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or I used to when I would get them in my Halloween. I was about to say Halloween stocking. Sure, when I would get them in my Halloween stocking, that I would take from house to house
when
and
Santa
knock on
pumpkin.
Every chimney. I would unwrap them and then sort them into piles by color. And then prescribe them to myself as medication.
Oh, God.
So I need two of my green pills now.
So even as a child, you had an inkling.
Well, let's be real, yes.
That we all needed some...
What
yeah,
things
I used to
have
be
I
like...
learned about myself as an adult that I didn't have an inkling about as a mm-hmm. child? I'm sure there are some, but...
My mom told me a story of how when I was like a 4 or 5 year old, like I've always been really good with directions. And apparently even at that young, I was very good at directions. So like... She was walking with me hand in hand, and as a 5-year-old, I was like, Mom, we need to go this way. And she was like, okay, and just, like, followed me. So I just was very definitive in my direction making as a child.
Really? You? Fish goat?
Yeah.
Fish goat Capricorn?
We were apparently in Stanley Park, and she was like, let's cut through the woods, and just, and I was like, no, Mom, stay on the path.
Holy shit. Yeah. You know what the scoop is.
Yeah.
What the story is.
It's pretty good. My mom's a Capricorn, too, but she just...
When's your mom's birthday?
2 days ago, January 9th.
Oh, that's wild.
3 days ago.
That's crazy.
We should have called her. Oh,
I
forgot this.
Ooh, another bug. Another creepy crawler. What's
this,
a smaller cockroach?
No, it's a fly.
A fly, which is much bigger than a regular fly.
So where did you get all this Halloween candy that you're busting out on us, Dana?
So, these candies come from a variety of places. We have Affection Chocolate.
Yep.
From a sweetie.
Sweets from your sweet.
Yes. We have... Christmas chocolate from our Christmas enthusiastic boss.
She's very
so your Christmas trick or treat bag, I suppose.
Yes. And then my Christmas trick or treat bag, yes. And then the other ones
shaped
are
like
from the other ones are from a Halloween cracker.
Oh. Like that you pull apart and it goes kapow.
So that's what these like creepy crawlers
yes.
are from.
Most of the things are from that. I got my hair done, and my friend who did my hair is one of those people who is, you know, some people are really into Christmas, and some people are really into Halloween.
She used to be a really Halloween person.
Well, she still is. Great. And, so she made a bunch of Halloween crackers. I don't know, because, and then was going to mail them to people, and then it was like, $5, and then gave me one when I came to visit. To get my
great,
hair done.
Great tale.
Yeah. But it did not have one of the crackers in it.
Well, then why is it a cracker?
It was shaped like one.
It's just a paper
It's just
bag.
A toilet paper roll filled with shit, basically, is what you're
Wrapped
telling me.
Wrapped in craft paper, tied with ribbons, covered in stickers.
Not literal shit, Chris. God. No, like stuff.
When you say toilet paper roll filled with shit.
Nonsense.
That just sounds like first year university.
So
wait, were you pooing into toilet rolls?
No, but I lived in dorms and they were gross.
Let's not say that was limited to first year university.
I guess. Somebody
Sometimes you run out of toilet paper. No, I'm just saying, sometimes you run out of toilet paper and you really, you don't realize until you really could have used some. Mm-hmm. And then.
That is my one particular thing that I know exactly how many rolls there is in the house at any given time. There are 37 rolls of toilet paper in my house right
now. Wow. Yeah. That's one of those useless superpowers, and you have it.
It's not useless, because I've never not had toilet paper in my house. Ooh. We have you will never come to my house, drop a big old dooski, and be like, uh-oh! Gonna have to use my sock!
Probably depends where in the house, let's be real.
Why are you shitting anywhere but the bathroom? My house is so small. You, like, have to look me in the eye while you shit in the den.
I hope everyone's enjoying this episode. I think it's good.
This is a very silly goose episode, as it always is when we get together on a Friday night.
It's exactly what I wanted. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
How's everybody's week been?
Well, you know.
Yours not so good.
Not so good.
Not so good. You want to fill us in after this giggle fest?
Only briefly. It feels funny to, like, come down from giggles and then just be like, well, so this
morning... All right, so here's the moment, everybody.
Well, this morning my dad did pass away.
Sorry to hear it.
And after sort of a long illness and all of that kind of stuff. And so I've been processing stuff for weeks. Yeah. And eventually, on a subsequent episode of the Sea Hags podcast, we will process it retrospectively after I've finished the whole journey.
Sure.
Just, you know, in the same way that you know and love us to, like, go over something in real intense detail.
Fine-toothed comb of emotional disentanglements.
Like, but with reflection, I was realizing, I'm like, oh, I could talk about it this week, or I could talk about it this week, and I'm like, nope, not enough distance to, like, make a narrative, sort of. I'm just like, oh, I have feelings right now, I don't
know. That's just where you're at right now, is feelings.
So, sometimes it's better to talk about your feelings when you're not actively having those exact feelings.
Precisely.
So we went and put some brown butter on our feelings.
Yeah, I ate a decadent dinner. I took Katie out to a French restaurant.
It was so good.
We ate some duck confit and some financier, which is like a brown butter almond cake thing.
It's spectacular.
Financiers for the Americans.
Financier.
I'm floating on a lake of butter right now.
It was pretty good. We even ate some escargot, which you didn't think you would do, but it was baked
into a croquette.
It was in a fried ball.
It was like the snail was in there, and it didn't look at me with its eye stalks or nothing.
They don't have eye stalks when you cook them.
No, they shrink up, probably.
I've never had escargot before, so there you go. I did that thing. It was a new experience.
I can't stop thinking about that little child joke about, like, oh, you see the snail? He painted an S on the side of his car, so when he drove around, you could say, look at that escargot.
Cute.
Thanks for that, Katie.
I hang out with children sometimes. They're not that funny, but they're also very funny.
Yeah, that's real about them.
Kids, darndest, etc.
Their jokes, not very good. It's like they haven't been doing comedy for, 15, 20 years, so they're just not that sharp.
I mean, neither have I. It just comes naturally.
Yeah, you're just a natural comedia.
Yeah.
For the French comedian. Or, sorry, for the Americans. Shit! I fucked up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry, we'll cut that out so it doesn't look like a doof.
No, we won't. We're keeping all the
That's why I'm saying it.
What did Hillary just say to you? She just whispered something to you very subtly.
But it was behind your hand or her hand, so...
I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
I've had a week, but I had a pretty nice day yesterday. After making funeral arrangements for my father.
Jesus H.
My mom...
But on the other hand, congratulations.
Yeah, I did that thing.
It's done. You did it. It's over.
And so I was with my mama, and we dropped her off at the ferry, and then my partner and I were, like, hanging out. We're like, the ferry traffic is so bad right now, and, like, all the traffic into North Van is, like, backed up for... We'd probably be sitting in traffic for, like, an hour and a half.
Ugh.
So let's just, like, kill time at the coffee shop in Horseshoe Bay. And then we were like, why don't we just go to Bowen Island instead? So we just did that, and it was lovely. We just took a ferry over. It was $12. Went to the pub, had a pint, played some pool, and then walked back on the ferry again, and then the traffic was done. It's the most brilliant of solutions.
It's a fantastic solution.
Hot tip, any Vancouver people, if you're ever stuck, or if you ever see that the traffic is bad going one way...
Just go to Bowen Island.
Just go to Bowen Island. You just walk
just
on.
Go to a fucking island.
The car? We left the car Horseshoe Bay and just, like, walked on the ferry, and it was delightful. And you can walk. You get off the ferry at Bowen Island, you walk up the hill, and the pub is right there.
It's perfect. It's true. It is really that close. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little place. It's weird.
I'd never been there before in my whole entire life.
Bowen Island or that pub?
Bowen Island.
I don't think I've been there since maybe preschool.
Mm-hmm. It's like Turbo North Van.
I was there last April for a work retreat. It was kind of fun. Everybody got blasted.
Wow.
I was pretty good. I was like, I I put some people to bed, basically. I was like...
You're like, it was pretty fun, and I'm like, no, doesn't sound fun to me.
It was a little awkward, but it was also kind of great, because then I'm like, I got dirt on so many people now, and I'm just kidding, I don't. I truly don't. Nobody really misbehaved that badly, but work retreats, don't really agree with them.
No.
Don't really think it's okay.
I like a work party where everyone can then leave after. If you have to have a slumber party with your coworkers
not
after,
my fave.
That's not great. My fave,
and I definitely...
I only want to have slumber parties with coworkers that I would otherwise have slumber parties with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Present.
This is where you can't see that I winked at Chris, but I did.
Because mm-hmm. you work together.
Yeah, so this week has been great, and Hillary's been helping out at work when I haven't been there because I've mm-hmm. had to deal with stuff, and so thank you for that. It's been lovely.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Hillary's very fucking good at our job, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I would have guessed that, yeah. for sure.
How was your week otherwise?
Other than work?
Yeah.
Pretty good. What did I do this week that wasn't work? I worked more this week than usual, so I'm like, I don't know, what else did I do?
Who am I, except for my relationship to capitalism? By which I mean crapitalism.
Well, on Tuesday, I met up with my family, ate dinner at a grocery store while listening to part of President Obama's speech, and then saw Star Wars.
Oh, good.
So, that's what we did.
Good family times.
Yeah, it was great.
You saw a Star Wars.
Yeah, we met up downtown.
The first of the Rogues.
Ate dinner. At the IGA.
It's a good IGA.
And then they were playing Barack Obama's, like, speech. And then we went and saw Rogue One.
Yeah. I liked that movie.
Yeah, I liked it, too.
I did not see it.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was an action movie.
That's what I feel about it, too.
I've heard from people that it's the most okay movie they've seen ever. Yeah. It was just, like, the most, wow, that was perfectly fine.
I think it's one of those things... where some people are going to be like, yeah, that's fucking sweet. And some people are like, I'm so disappointed because of my expectations. And whereas I was like, well, that was a solid action movie. Mm-hmm. Really filled in that gap in the plot I already knew.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Good job, everyone.
It's not a universe I care too much about. But I found out today that I can't even love Star Trek anymore.
Oh.
Which was so distressing. Oh, but yeah. Fair, I did. I'm glad to have seen that.
All your
turns
faves
out,
are problematic.
Well, you know, there's been so many Star Trek series and so many things that aren't necessarily under the same umbrella, but at the same time, I'm just like, oh, Gene Roddenberry was a terrible man in many ways, which is unfortunate, because I was just like, oh, he had such good ideas. Like, just because he was progressive about race doesn't mean he had a great idea about gender.
That's
not
true.
Good to women.
No.
Just very distressing to find out, because I have been worshipping that show for a really long time.
But then it's like, why are there so many weird rapey themes in all these? Oh, because Gene Roddenberry is an awful man.
Yeah. Well, I just, like, they don't have the same kind of, like, sexual assaulty subplots in DS9, I found. Like, it's not like it didn't exist, but it definitely... It was so common in TNG when in retrospect. Like, poor Deanna Troi, they just, like, fucked with her brain so much.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, let's put an alien ghost baby in you, and you're gonna have nightmares about being made into a cake and eaten and all this stuff.
Ugh.
Ugh, you're gonna have nightmares about being consumed as a cellular peptide cake. Do you remember this episode?
No.
It was really freaky. Mm. She was a cake.
I got that from your description.
Of her being a sheet cake. But she still had a regular head, so it was really distressing.
What the fuck?
If I showed you this, you'd be like, oh, I just blocked that out.
Probably.
I probably never watched the episode, let's be real.
But DS9, on the other hand, did not have those things, and the women were not nearly as fucked up as characters. But they still got shit behind the scenes, so life is garbage.
Yeah. All your heroes are terrible.
It's true. Gotta have to make my own stuff that's cool, because I know I'm not a molesto.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, all your faves, including your own self, is problematic.
I'm very problematic.
I'm just going to say
But I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to be the least problematic person. Just turn into a beige raindrop. Just fly through the sky and splatter, and that's my lifetime.
I'm allergic to water.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's been a good time.
Yeah. Appropriating beige culture.
It's not appropriation when it's your own.
Oh, yeah. Khaki culture is definitely white people times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, just looking like we all work at Best Buy. Yeah. It's fine.
Uh-huh. Do I look like I work at Best Buy? Probably.
You look like you work at the Best Buy in Ankh-Morpork, which is the main city in Discworld, which is the creation of Terry Pratchett.
Because let's just be really clear for the listeners at home that I'm a big old nerd, but not in any of the cool ways.
No.
What are you super nerdy about?
She makes dungeon maps.
But not, like, for actually playing, just little ones that you can draw, and I don't even do that anymore, barely, because I'm, I don't know, whatever. And I will do long division for fun sometimes.
Okay.
I'm really into partner dancing. I don't know. The only things I know about, like, comic books and movies and various other capital N, capital C nerd culture items are because I am surrounded by nerds basically at all times. And I'm very
right
fluent.
Right now, in fact.
Yes, yes, including now. Nerds and introverts, why my life? But, you know, at least I graduated from capital M musicians.
Hey.
I have a lot of people in my life who are musicians and play music, but aren't who, like, you know, when you, I don't know, have you folks ever gone through a string of dating musicians?
I mean, yeah.
I feel like I'm sort of that.
Yeah.
Do you feel...
Maybe it's just that you're not a dude, though.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've dated some musician dudes, and it's not good.
Yeah.
When they're just, like, so serious about
their craft. I've
basically
been a musician dude, except for not being serious about my craft, just, like, being in it, and it's not that good. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't have anything wrong with, like, musicians. I just was like, well, I guess I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I just was noticing
being a band girlfriend is fucking stupid. It's the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
And I used to want to be it so much, and then I was in a band, and I was like, oh, all of this is dumb.
I was the band girlfriend to that band, P.S.
Yeah, it's true.
So
we were, like, subtexting with our eyes really hard just now. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a really great band girlfriend photo of me. When I had just started, when my hair had kind of just started to get long, and it's me, oh, we'd had, like, a really big fight, and I was feeling, like, complete bullshit, and I'm sitting at the merch table with this, like, glorious, like,
little
pompadour.
Exactly,
you know,
what
the exact
picture
photo.
It is. Yeah.
And, there's, like, all the merch and everything, and I'm, like, wearing a merch shirt, and I just, I'm, like, kind of smiling, but if you really look, you can tell that, I'm, like...
Crying on the inside?
Yes. And a little bit on the outside.
Just a little bit. So. Yeah, no, I know exactly the picture you're talking about. It is, like, it is just, like, you can taste the sadness in it.
Oh, band girlfriend runs the merch table. A portrait of sadness.
Yeah, band girlfriend runs the merch table. Band girlfriend picks up the various pieces of equipment that have been knocked over.
Band girlfriend does all of the emotional and domestic labor that Katie couldn't manage to do.
It's cool, y'all. Let's drink this tea. I'm going to open a candy.
Yeah, do it. This makes me think of this thing I
saw.
You're
opening the affection chocolate.
Get that affection into your body. It's good stuff. Yum. No, I'm okay. It just made me think of this thing I saw in the Hard Times, which was like new band girlfriend really trying to force this friendship with the other band girlfriends. Yeah. And it's just like a story about how like we've gotten to this another fetus abortion show or whatever like the death metal band is in, in the article. It's obviously a fake satire article, but the great part is it's like the photo. I realized like, oh, someone I know from Portland is in this fake stock photo. Mm-hmm. And it's Lucia Fizzano, who is like, she works with the Double Clicks and stuff. She's like this really cool. But I'm like, she's
I know
the
who
band.
The Double Clicks are.
She's the band, right? Like she's she's a comedian musician, but she's like playing a band girlfriend, and I'm just like, ain't that the way?
Yeah. I was in many bands, and still am, and I will often just be like, oh, who's your boyfriend in the band? And it's just like, I am in the band.
Me, I'm my boyfriend in
the cello band. The cello is my dick. So just say that to them next time. I'm gonna ear fuck you with it a bit, if you want.
Yeah, once people see me on stage, but it's like, it's the pre-whatever, and especially like, for a while, it was sound people being like, oh, it's okay, I'll, like, set up your boyfriend stuff, you don't have to. I'm like, this is my things. These are my things.
Guess I'll just sit here and knit some testicle cozies.
For my boyfriend, who is a cis man with nuts. I'm just gonna clarify for everyone at home what the joke's about.
Yeah. But I definitely, was never, like, I had a band boyfriend who would come to all of our gigs and just, like, sit around until he stopped liking that, because it sucks being, but he just, like, felt no worries about, like, oh, I have to come to every show. He's just like, I don't like this anymore. I'll see you when you get home.
Must be nice.
Yeah. But, like, sometimes band girlfriends come to all the shows because they just feel like they gotta. Have to. Yeah.
And also, yeah, that
Who's
was definitely.
Who's gonna help carry all the shit from the car? How are you going to get that amp in and out of that Toyota Tercel?
How will anyone know that I'm good enough to be loved by someone in this shitty, shitty band?
Yeah, hot tip
I was chosen by a musician!
Hot tip for everybody, it's okay to have your own life and just do your own stuff, too.
Hell yeah. It's good when there's, like, a good mix. Tessa comes to, like, a third of all of my shows, which is feels like the right amount, because I do quite a few of them, so...
I've been to even a single one, but that's partly because I have a lot of, like... anxiety about anxiety about stand-up comedy.
Yeah. I remember you telling me the story about, like, you laughed at a comedy show and someone, like, the comedian made fun of your laugh or something.
Yeah.
And so, like...
That's the only one I've been to, actually.
Yeah, oh, wow. You're just, like, no pressure ever. But... Well, I never want to go to comedy ever again.
I'm a really loud laugher.
It's
and
true.
This has, like, gotten me in shit from random people.
Really?
Like, yes.
Are
once...
you tweeted about this, like, being at a theater?
Yes. Once I was at a play... And some parts were very funny. And sometimes I think that things are funny when other people don't. But, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, I wish I could remember the actress's name off the top of my head. It was a show called Dickens Women. In that it was, like, all the various women from Charles Dickens' life that he, like, that influenced him and that he incorporated into various characters. Mm. And it was a one-woman show. And so she played... all of the characters.
Mrs. In the, Havisham and stuff, yeah.
all the various things, like, the men in the scenes, the women in the scenes, everything.
Right.
And it was all a commentary on Charles Dickens' life, but,
he was a dick.
Yes.
There's your commentary.
Yeah, that was a lot of the commentary. And it, she's a really amazing character actress. She played, Professor Sprout.
Oh! Marion Margolis.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
She's a lesbian.
And fantastic.
And she hates John Cleese. Because he was a dick to her in Cambridge.
I mean,
I know a lot about her because I left her. She was also the nurse in the Romeo and Juliet movie.
Ooh, well, anyhow.
And she's Aunt Prudence from...
she's wonderful.
Miss Fisher. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, she's
amazing.
She is.
I absolutely love her.
She is amazing.
She's
and
a great
so
comedic
you
actress.
Can imagine, I'm in this relatively small theater with her doing this one-woman show. She is fucking fantastic.
She's amazing.
And some parts of it are just... so funny. And so I'm laughing when it's funny.
Of course.
And at intermission, this woman, I'm trying to remember if she turned around and looked at me or if she just turned, I think she just turned to the person she was sitting next to, maybe her husband, and said something about like people laughing or whatever. And I was just like, oh, okay. I guess I'm just supposed to sit here steadfastly.
And not enjoy the comedy that people are putting right in your lap?
Right? I don't know. I feel bad sometimes. I'm like, oh, what if we go out to a movie and then people are embarrassed to be there with me because I laugh loud at
That's
something.
That's so upsetting.
It's really a bummer, and I'm mostly over it, but, like, I don't know. I think the reasons that I don't go to stand-up comedy are partly because I... generally don't trust that I'm not going to show up and hear some bullshit.
Oh, you will.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is one of the reasons I don't go.
Yeah,
because I'm
totally
like, am I going to show up and then feel trapped there and then feel like
I just found a picture of it and it was exactly what I pictured in my mind.
It was amazing.
Dickens
She's incredible.
Women.
Dickens
love
women,
her.
Yeah.
Put it on
so,
the blog.
Yeah, put it on
I
the
will.
Blog. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, well... I don't really know what it's gonna be like. So I kind of only want to go if it's like, if someone that I know and whose taste I trust basically vouches for the night and is like, yeah, the majority of people are not just gonna be just horrific.
It's lucky that you know someone that like books a comedy show here in this room.
I'll tell you if there's ever gonna be a really good one that I think is. I wanna do a queer show. And if I do that, there is one cis dude comic who he does like some sort of gender essentialist stuff, but he's also incredibly funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not done in a nasty way.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I can think of. Like there are a lot of people I really love and there are a lot of people who I like who do shitty jokes.
Yeah.
And the thing is for me that I don't know what it is exactly, some kind of conditioning deep in there, but I will laugh at stuff in the moment, like because of the
discomfort
room and whatever.
Oh yeah.
Not even
just
a discomfort laugh.
Because
but,
it's the whole atmosphere. It's like
exactly.
We're here in a dark room and it's okay to just laugh at the
Or it's more like this is I told the joke, laugh at the joke. It's like when you watch it's almost like some laugh track bullshit.
Yeah.
Like when you're like watching a show and there's the laugh track and so you're like, ha 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 and then you're like, wait, none of that's funny at all.
It's just a sympathetic reaction.
And so but because my laugh is really loud and like having that basically automatic sympathetic reaction means that sometimes I will be laughing at a thing and be like, no, fuck, I don't want to laugh at that, but my body is already doing
the
it.
Joke.
So like it isn't that my brain is like, this is funny and we shall laugh. My body's like, ha 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 ha. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Shut it down.
Shut it down.
My body also does this with crying. It just cries.
Oh, my body cries a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. My body cries more than it laughs, but...
The first stand-up show I ever did was for the class that I took.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one guy in my class who I know was not going to do a good set. Like, I just knew. I'd seen him do the same thing over and over. Our instructors had specifically told him, this is not going to work. It's too gross.
And no one will like it. I saw it. It was so gross.
And he was just like, well, too bad. It's what I wrote. So I'm going to do it. And one person laughed the whole time. And it was my friend Jasta. And she has also a very loud, distinctive laugh.
Yeah.
But it was clear how uncomfortable she was. And no one else was laughing.
Yeah.
It was, that was a purely discomforting moment. I was like, I'm going to the bathroom for 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to hear you talk about shitting and coffee anymore.
No, gross.
It was gross. Gross. I'm much funnier than he is.
I believe it. You're much funnier than a lot of people.
Thank you.
I would even maybe say most people. I don't know if they're funnier than me. I'm pretty funny also, but we're different funny.
It's a different kind of funny.
So people often tell me I should do stand-up comedy. I'm like, no. I don't tell jokes.
Prepared.
I don't tell jokes.
You might be an amazing improv person if you wanted to do it. But
I mean, I did go to Nationals twice.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Yeah, I did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You did an improv?
Yeah, I did an improv.
Like several improvs.
I did quite a number of improvs, yes.
Give me a place.
No, please don't give me a place.
What, like in high
Dentist
school?
Office!
In high school?
Yeah. So
high school!
Edie!
The scene takes place in a high school.
We've already heard your suggestion. Stop yelling high school.
High school!
Podiatrist! That's one of my favorites.
Proctologist.
I often yell podiatrist.
But doctor.
Yeah, I was part of the Canadian Improv Games, which is...
I never knew that about you.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I know.
So you are good at improv.
That's how I know Ryan Beal and Dave Morris.
I didn't know you knew Ryan Beal.
I've known Ryan Beal and Dave Morris since we were teenagers. Mm-hmm. We were all in Canadian Improv Games together.
And then they went the distance.
Yeah, they did. I know actually a bunch of people.
As far as you can go with an improv.
Yeah, I know. I actually know a lot of people from that stuff. I don't know, and it's like those weird connections.
He's a nice boy, in my experience with him. I only met him once. Ryan.
Yes,
I met
Ryan
him very
is
recently,
very,
and he
to
was
be,
quite
to be
lovely.
Super frank about it, Ryan Beal is literally the funniest human being I have ever met in my life.
Yes!
I've met a lot of funny people, and Ryan Beal is the funniest one. He and Dave Morris used to do, I don't know if they still do, but he and Dave Morris used to do this thing called the Storytellers. And there was this period of time where, so there's... You know how sometimes there's someone's mom and she's kind of like the friend, everyone's mom. So there was this person in North Van, and there's this particular mom and she was kind of a lot of people's moms. And everyone, it was like, she was Mammy. Everyone called her Mammy.
Okay. Not a good start, but you know, what do
well,
you do?
Well, yeah. But it was, so she was really, I think she was, I don't know if it was cause she was sick that year, but one year as a Christmas present, some of her kids decided to put together Mammy's Christmas Variety Show.
Aww.
And so it was a surprise to her in, like, the covered back, kind of like a covered back deck, kind of like a carporty thing.
Okay.
So basically, like, she was lured upstairs to talk to someone, and then everyone came in
swarmed
in the back.
In.
And then she was, and then she came back downstairs, and there was a variety show for her. And when I say variety show, I mean, like, I don't know if either of you have heard of Aliqua. So it's this, I don't know if they're still together or not, but this really amazing, it was originally an a cappella women's group of like 8 to 9 voices. And so there was like, basically all of it was like variety show of like professional level people doing professional level shit. And so it was really amazing. And so Mammy's Christmas Variety Show or Mammy's Christmas Variety Hour, like, became an annual thing for a while, at least. I kind of drifted apart from that group of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember one year, Dave and Ryan did a storytellers thing there where they would just, the only thing was, it was just the two of them. There was no suggestions, there was nothing. And they would just stare at each other's face and one of them would start saying something and then they would just say things at the same time. And just staring at each other's face like, what are you doing
now?
But like they could do it so fast, and that's how they would start, is they would just stare at each other and just like talk at the same time trying to figure out what the other person was saying, and like so it was just this weird like Ouija board talking thing, and that's how they would set up their whole thing, and then they would just go, and it was amazing. Like he's literally the funniest.
He's probably one of the best improvers in certainly in Canada, possibly North America, maybe the world. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. He's really funny. So
he's got a very funny face too. I don't mean like Ryan Beal funny face, perfect face for comedy.
Yes,
and character work.
And people may have seen him. He was an A&W employee named Ryan.
Yes.
In the A&W commercials.
In A&W commercials. And then he started his own grassroots campaign to have himself rehired as Ryan, and it worked.
Yeah, I want to see him with that guy that's bald again. That guy's cool.
No, it worked. They shot another commercial.
Oh, fantastic.
Like, he started his own grassroots... He started his own grassroots campaign called Where's Ryan?
I remember it. Yeah. Presumably he made enough to pay his rent for, like, 5 months for doing one commercial.
I mean, or at least 1 month. I hope.
I think he probably make more than that commercials.
I just admire a lot of the nice people that we know.
Yeah. there's some stories, yeah.
I never met him before, and I met him very recently at the venue that he manages, at Little Mountain Gallery. Mm-hmm. I think he's part and parcel of the management anyway, and I was just, it was great, because Graham Clark introduced me to him as a very funny comedian, which I think he calls everybody, but it still felt really good. Like, she's a super, super funny comedian. I was like, you can't see my face, but it's good. It's really good.
Honestly, I wish you could see all of Katie's faces. They're really good. And then I wish you could see Chris's reaction faces. Because they're also really good.
Loving exasperation every time. It's like the best face I get from you. But I was like, Ryan, love you in iZombie. He's like, I love doing iZombie. He's like, yeah, the caster's a sketch artist. That's really fucking weird.
You can hear me pouring tea. Sorry, everybody.
She's not peeing.
I should probably make some more tea in the next little while.
I mean, I'm good.
You take a break. I'm totally fine.
It's getting pretty hot in here.
Well, and then you're taking off all your clothes.
I did just take off a layer.
As one must.
I didn't bring enough layers for this.
Well, no.
My bra's real cute, though.
Is it the one with the thingy?
Yeah, it is.
Show me the thingy.
Hey, everyone.
The thingy!
That's a great bra.
I figured out how to make it work appropriate.
Just cover it up?
Yeah. Doesn't work with all my shirts.
No.
Because they're cut too low or they're too see-through.
Yeah.
But this one's only a little bit see-through.
Does that kind of bra have a name?
I don't know.
Cool.
Strappy.
Strappy. It's strappy McGee. Bra.
It's the thing that, like, so many nice queer ladies are wearing.
I see so many queer femmes wearing them on top of their biggie boobs. Because it's like look
under
at this.
Under
like
a blazer. And
it's like a line to show you where the boob starts.
Yeah. To be honest, I am so thrilled to finally find something in this style in my size, because this has been my goal aesthetic since I was a child.
It's fancy underwear?
No, like, very specifically, like, strappy, I'm trying to think what they're
strappy
calling them,
bra.
Like,
a demi-tasse.
No, it's like cage bras.
Okay.
Sometimes they call them, or, like,
I think cage
harness stuff.
I got a cage bralette, because I got small boobs, so I can wear a bralette.
Yeah, I desperately
want
bralettes.
It comes almost all the way down to my belly button. It looks really good on me.
I bet.
I should wear it sometime and just be like, hey guys, check me
under
out.
Under a blazer.
Fuck, I don't want to destroy people.
You should...
You don't want to destroy people? Where's the Katie Nordgren I know and love?
Sorry, I totally want to destroy
you should
people.
Absolutely destroy everybody by doing that.
Yeah.
Please do. So, yes, I would also like to go and get that, because I don't... Yeah. It's a little strappy. Yeah.
I just love it. It's such a good...
There's a few different kinds
line.
We could go. But, that's actually been my aesthetic, or one of my goal aesthetics since I was a child. I used to make clothes for my Barbies out
a
of
kinky,
strips.
Kinky, cool bra?
Yes. I used to make clothes for my Barbies out of strips of fabric.
You want to put your titties in a cage is what you're telling me.
Yes. I have
keep them under lock and key.
I have basically been making like fetish wear for Barbies since I was a child.
Just black electrical tape just on them?
Just Bob Mackie in your dolls?
I didn't have black electrical tape. I had strips of random fabric from the sewing room.
Just making share designs for your Barbies, basically?
Yeah, basically.
Nice.
And then, of that was like way too... The only place that you could buy anything like that was in like actual super skeezy sex shops.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the only way that that aesthetic was treated was in a very like campy, cheesy... like, this isn't anything anyone should take seriously kind of way. So I felt like I could never actually, even just like, oh, secret sexy dress up for a partner way, couldn't do it ever.
No.
Because it was like...
It was treated as sort of like a jokey...
What's the name of that store on Hastings that has like the crazy shoes and stuff?
Model Express.
Express.
Oh, God, I love Model Express.
Model Express. They also carry women's shoes up to like a size 15, which I love.
They are honestly so sweet. They are so kind and lovely there. No matter what I've gone in looking for, they have never been weird about it. Mm-hmm. It's this like middle-aged couple who runs it. And they are super, super sweet.
They must see the biggest variety of, like, femme-presenting people that you could
other. That store has one of the strangest, like, conglomerations of things. So,
I just see the shoes, the wigs, and the boob things.
You don't usually go in? No. See, I go in and buy things there. Because
you're better than me.
Well, that's true, but things that are in that store. Stripper shoes.
Yep.
Motorcycle boots.
Nice. Motorcycle stripper boots?
I mean, so they have a huge range of, like, stuff from Pleaser and other, like, the super platformy, you're doing exotic pole dancing,
yeah,
and or you need thigh highs to keep your legs warm and look hot while you're waiting for someone to pick you up,
yeah,
on your corner. And they also have just, like, a random assortment of, like, are these, like, we're like, are these from, like, rejects from a thrift store shoes? Okay. And then they also have, a really good selection of wigs, like, nice wigs, for not super expensive. They have a ton of various, like, erotic costume, adult costume.
Yeah, wear. Their Christmas selection, when they put out their Christmas selection, was pretty fun in the window. Lots of, like, little sexy Santa outfits and stuff.
They also have a huge selection of, like, stockings. They also have some
I'm sorry. Christmas trick-or-treat bags.
I'll let you have that one, Katie.
Oh, my God. Roasted on my own podcast every time.
True. And they also have really, really cheap fake lashes. Really cheap.
Oh, nice.
And they also have, like, a variety of clothes where you're like, these are, like, weird, like the kind of clothes you would find in a consignment store that was only ever, like, donated to by, upper middle class middle-aged women, where you're like, what is this?
Why
is this a Liz Claiborne blazer next to the dildo?
But just, like, weirder, like, more 80s.
So, like, weirder. Gem sweaters and things.
Like, weird polyester, like, green and blue modeled long sleeve, and you're like, okay, why is this here? And then. Maybe the best part is the wall by the back near the change rooms, entirely filled with children's toys from the 80s and very early 90s.
What?
Yep.
They got a pizza shooter?
I don't know, but they do have all kinds of stuff there.
Oh. Children's toys. Funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe they didn't have them when I was in there last time, but the stuff that's closer to the front is definitely, like, targeted at a sex work and people who want to be sexy demographic.
They would do their merchandising.
And then, but then there's all kinds of, like, decidedly non-sexy things
in the rest of the store. It gets more innocent the further in you go, which is, like, a real bait and switch.
And the other really amazing bit is that, obviously, the physical store has been there for a really long time because all of the change rooms have built into the wall an ashtray just outside.
just trying on outfits?
Just tap out your player's light while you,
Yeah.
Put on things that will definitely catch on fire if you touch your cigarette to it.
Several
people have sticking burned to death in that store.
But anyways, Model Express, you should go there.
Go to Model Express.
They're really nice. Mm-hmm. I really like them.
Making good notes for this episode.
Just hot tips. Mm-hmm. I was thinking I really want a nice outfit again that has, like, a beautiful fitted pencil skirt with the little, like, flip flare at the back. Mm-hmm.
That's a good look.
And it is. Because, like, I had one before that it, like, went up to basically, like, under my boobs, and it was kind of cut in that way that it actually fits nicely, and then it was just, like, beautiful pencil skirt. And I got it from New World Designs on Cordova, and they, like, tailored it to me, like, for free, which was so beautiful, so I would totally like to go and get,
nice,
like, a power suit, but, like, fitted from, like, the sort of fetish store.
Yeah.
It would be great.
I bought lots of things from there in Venus and Mars when they
lived. Yeah, I was just going to say, Venus and Mars.
It's where I got my grad dress.
Yep.
Which still fits.
Yeah, of course you did.
Which I... Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, of course I did.
I need some rockets now.
Oh, crinkle that wrapper.
Just always going back to that ASMR. Oh, man. Roasty toast. That's why I'm so warm right now. It's because I just keep getting fucking roasted. I am very mockable.
That's true.
The new dynamic on our podcast is, like, we just... Katie and I just love each other so much, and then the guest just makes fun of us for being insufferable. It's kind of my favorite thing.
It's pretty much the best.
I also love you both so much.
Oh, yeah. Well,
which is why you're allowed to roast us as hard as you want.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, that's me. I was like, who is that? It's me. I stink a little.
Shall we take a little wee break and refresh our beverages?
Right. Put some deodorant on.
We're back.
We're back!
I'm also back.
Mm-hmm. We didn't kick Hillary out because she kept roasting us.
It was dicey!
It was close. It was really close.
Instead, I brought us all various size mason jars full of beverages.
That was good. Yeah, and I was talking to Hillary because we were looking at her cool cage bra, which she showed us the whole shebang. It was great.
I don't know if we should post that on the blog, but...
Well, I don't think... We'd have to take a photo, specifically.
you think I don't already have photos of
it? Do you want me to sketch you? Do you want me to sketch you with charcoal?
Yes.
Yes, actually, I do. Here, I'll start drawing you. There's your boobs. There's the bra. Hey, it just looks like Garfield's angry eyes.
It does, actually. Here, I'll draw a lasagna.
Your boobs. Your boobs hate Mondays.
Your boobs kicked Odie off the table.
Your boobs shipped Nirmal to Abu Dhabi.
This is a great... So Hillary is drawing Garfield, but it's her boobs are the eyes, and now he's eating lasagna and he hates
Mondays. Lasagna kind of looks like pubes.
It pretty much just looks like a really weird
bikini. I love that the pubes are as wide as my tits.
Well, I mean...
this drawing. Here, great, great. Nope, that's my body. That's my body shape.
So we'll post this on the blog then.
There's my legs. They come out like that because that's all my pubes here.
Your pubes are so wide here. That your thighs can't touch.
I'm going to put a sensor bar on this bottom part.
Oh, so you can't see some sensor? Of the bits.
Yeah. Oh, a censored bar. I thought you said like a sensor bar. I'm like, is that like a place you go to smell incense?
No. If I need to smell incense, I just try to go and get... I just like these are my little
bars. your shitty little chicken wings.
This is an audio medium. This on the block.
Well, I will take a photo of it now so I don't forget.
That's what I look like.
That's your hair. There's your bangs.
So this is an amazing photo of Hillary that I wish that I could just take it and then have it appear somehow in the middle of somebody listening to this podcast.
Oh, no, I'm wearing a shirt. Let me put it on. There we go.
This is an incredible drawing.
Better put some pants on.
This is going to take so long.
You're wearing a shirt, but yet your pubes are...
You know what? I guess the camera has x-ray vision. X-ray vision that includes a sensor bar. I don't know why I don't have feet, but let's just go with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just don't have feet.
You're standing in quicksand. You're standing in quicksand.
Oh, fuck. Well, we were talking off...
Anyways,
we were talking off the mic. About cage bras, and I was like, I got to use a cage bar, which is almost cage bra, because it's the same letters, just slightly rearranged. Yeah. And it's like this special, it's like you get in the hexagon. It's not the octagon. I didn't fight Ronda Rousey or anything like that, but it's like this, it's like an octagon that goes around you, and then the bars come off of this metal octagon, and then you lift this octagon around your body,
or this
hexagon, or whatever. It's a polygon of some sort.
It's a shape.
And you just lift it around your body so that you can do, like, the full motion of pulling it up around yourself, but you can't, like, fuck up and push it too far forward or back, because it's, like, around you.
That seems really sensible.
Yeah, it's, like, a good guide for people who are new to doing deadlifts. So I deadlifted just 70 pounds right off the bat, which was pretty good, and I was like, I can definitely do more, so it's gonna go up. And I was just saying that I love all the trainers at my gym. Each one is special in their own way, and some of them motivate me by being recalcitrant with their affection. And I'm like, I want Jules to like me, so I work really extra hard. And then there's the ones who are really good at correcting form without making me feel bad. Mm-hmm. And then there are the others ones that sort of playfully antagonize me, which I also love. Mm-hmm. So it's just really good.
I'm so happy that you have good times and you're so strong. You're lifting heavy stuff in my living room today. It made
just
me
to make
really
you
happy.
Happy.
It did.
Just lift it up your Lisa mattress.
Shut up about my podcast mattress.
Wait, you guys have ads on here now?
No.
I wish. But we have money.
I just bought a fucking mattress, and it's really heavy. It's a 70-pound box.
Yeah.
And
so I lifted Katie it, just, no problem.
I know. It was deadlifted really great. It. I can't do
just
that.
Just deadlifted it, and then Ed picked it up. You're like, no, let Katie do it.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Have you ever seen the picture of Elsbeth carrying, like, a giant bag of either flour or lentils or something?
Or
wearing only an apron and sequin gold booty shorts and just looking at the camera?
No, but I
because it's fucking
see
hot
it
as shit.
Right now.
That's your girlfriend, you know?
That's my partner, Elsbeth. She's just very sexy. Muscular. Uh-huh. And she's her body shape is two triangles put together. My body shape is a stack of pancakes.
Delicious.
Highly excellent.
Yes.
Just delicious.
Yeah, I realized, I was like, wait, my body shape's like a stack of pancakes. And then I was like, two triangles and a stack of pancakes. It goes really good.
That's delicious.
Yeah. But yeah, Elizabeth is like, triangle here and triangle there. She's the most hourglass, hourglass.
Triangle man.
Yeah.
Triangle lady.
I guess. She's pretty femme.
Yeah.
She's hella femme.
I like watching people lift heavy things, I guess I realize.
There's a lot of, like, heavy lifting femmes at my gym. Like, seriously.
That's basically my dream. You know what is the hottest?
Fat buff
girls. Fat buff girls.
There's some, like, skinny buff girls, too.
Yeah, I'm just really into muscular femmes. I just have a thing for it.
Well, these girls have got these, like, squats, because no one raps about small butts or whatever. It's like a pretty doofy but cute shirt that everybody's got a cutesy shirt. But my favorite is like these five girls who have these long sleeve sweaters that just say babe supporting babes.
Oh,
which is such a good, and they're like, Katie, do you want to get one of these and be in our club too? I was like, yes, I do. I'm gonna order it. You love this babe supporting, are you gonna cry?
No, I'm gonna inhale really hard and then swallow the water in my mouth. But I do have feelings.
Your eyes got real shiny.
It's like going to youth group was, like, when I was a teen, where I was like, I don't know, church, whatever. But then everybody was so nice to me. I was like, I love going. So it, like, took something that I thought I was going to hate and made it something that was really fun and culty. It's not really that culty.
You're so susceptible to a little cult action.
It's true, but nobody's tried to upsell me at anything. Nobody's tried to get me to buy the bigger package or buy any supplements or, like,
change my... No, that's what the liftings were. Get that bigger package yourself.
Well, I showed Hillary my butt earlier. She's like, it's a good butt. It's good. Yeah. Looks like a strong butt.
You guys had a fun break while I was downstairs.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah.
You'll never know what happened. Oh, no. It's not on the pod. Nothing happened. It was cool, though. Enjoyed it.
Poor Chris. Never having seen a butt.
Her whole life, she's never seen a butt.
Especially neither of ours.
That's never our butts. It's just like a mystery. It's like a gray haze below the neck when you look at us.
You think that for a shorter person, you know, that's like almost
like butt stares height. At us in the boobs all day, and it's just like noise to her. She can't see them.
She's seen them.
Swatting your compliments away like a kitten.
It's really cute.
Meow.
Would you like a saucer of milk?
Yeah.
Okay. Just gonna lap up some almond milk, some vanilla flavored almond milk.
Yeah, that's like my jam.
I know. That's why I said it.
So good.
Yeah.
So this has been a goofy, fun time so far.
I love friendship, you guys.
Yeah,
friendship's
pretty good.
I like tits and friendship.
Tits and friendship.
They're good together. Yeah. Two great tastes.
Those are kind of...
tastes great.
Like pancakes and triangles. They go together. Boobs and friendship, pancakes and triangles.
That's most of my friendships involve lots of boobs in my face. That's pretty nice. It's
a lot of triangle talk on our podcast lately.
What?
You talked about your Dan Brown tattoos last week.
Oh, yeah. I got triangles on my ankles.
Yeah. And I was like, the Da Vinci Code tattoo? She's like, yeah, didn't you know that? I was like, no, this would have been a different friendship if I had known that.
It would not have been.
It would not, but it was very amusing to me. I mean, again, I have an AFI tattoo, so I can't say anything.
All of my tattoos are about how intense I am about feelings.
You're intense about feelings, Hillary? Really?
I'm just a big old walking bag of feelings. Everyone knows
that. How many feelings do you have? I usually have like 6.
Out your feelings?
Yeah.
You know? That's cool. I mean, I guess it's like toilet paper that way.
Yeah, I know how many toilet papers I have. I totally pulled that figure out of my ass, by the way, just like I did with toilet paper. I'm just kidding. That's horrible. I don't know, but I gather it's probably that many because I can't stand
you
not having a ton of
toilet paper. You said it
with
so much confidence
paper.
That we believed you and we would have believed you forever had you not...
But you know what? I'm not okay with lying. Crinkle, 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 crinkle.
Too much Halloween candy. Someone call Tessa and ask for a count.
Yeah, preternaturally honest is what you
I
are.
Will actually ask her if she will do that right now.
Do it for the podcast, Tessa. Do it for
Tessa,
I'm doing it.
We're recording a podcast right now, and if
can
you, could
you
just
settle a bet?
A live podcast bet.
What are we betting?
By counting the
I
rolls
bet one Santa Hershey's kiss.
I don't have anything to bet.
Here, you can use this Tootsie Roll.
Just your dignity.
A Tootsie Roll. I was going to say my ding dong.
You dick.
By counting the rolls of toilet
bet
paper.
Bet your dick.
I bet my dick, guys. I hope I don't lose it because I know I can't live without this dick.
I'm getting a pain in my cheek
from smiling
and laughing too hard. It's good. I like it.
All right. Well, so unless she's in the middle of an Overwatch round.
Speaking of, like, sexy buff ladies.
Mm-hmm. Zarya.
Next year, like, this next Halloween, are you going to cosplay Zarya because you're going to be so buff? You'll dye your hair pink and you'll put a little pink star on your face and stuff?
I thought we were just talking about Tessa. I was like,
she is a buff, babe.
True. Oh, true. True.
So we both had a bunch of makeup on last weekend. We're, like, flexing in front of the mirror. It was really good. I was like, wow, I love being married to you. She's like, I love being married to you.
Yeah, because you were, I mean, I know enough about Overwatch to have followed when you started talking about Overwatch, and I was like, oh, right, Overwatch, yep. Mm-hmm. No, I was totally like thinking about that.
I don't know anything about that video game except for there's a lot of gay girls in
there's
it.
There's a very buff chick with pink hair in it, and she's Russian.
So you should totally do that.
Yeah.
Duh. Mm-hmm. I should. That's I was looking way. At her today, and I was like, I'd have to, like, put all this cover up on all my tattoos and then just put her tattoos over top of it.
I guess.
She's got a tattoo. I've talked about this on the podcast before, I'm sure. She's got a tattoo that says 512, which is the amount of kilograms that in her personal best bench press.
Wow.
Pretty good.
She's not a real person.
You better hope you never get better at it, then.
Well, no one can actually bench press 1,400 pounds, so...
Well, challenge accepted.
Not well, by me world, personally, not let's, by be, me clear. Personally. Let's
world,
be clear.
The world record deadlift is like 500 kilograms, so a bench press, no way. No one could do it.
Yeah, totally. Chris and I know about exercise terminology. Well, the world record jack squat is actually a staggering 7,500 pounds. But we all know that's performed by a team. So.
Yep. And they use their dicks to lift it up. And they jack it on
team
up there.
Jack squat.
So, Ryan, see, can I tell you
see,
a
you
cute
said
story?
That with such conviction that I believed you.
Oh my gosh, can I tell you a really cute story?
Of course.
About a cute cutie that I have started dating?
Yes.
We've been waiting for this.
Yeah, you're dating the cutest cutie right now.
You're dating the perfect... You're, like, perfect visual compliment.
Oh my gosh, it's the best.
I want to hear a lot of things about this, even though I know some of the details just for fun anyway.
I don't know that much. I'm just following it on Facebook going, yes, 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 yes. Because I'd seen pictures of you, well, I've known you for many years, yeah. And I've seen pictures of this individual separately, and I was like, that seems like it could work. Just like who would you ship?
Yeah,
apparently you were not the only one.
A lot of people were shipping those two together, and it's like they showed up for a first date in like matching outfits, which is so cute. By accident.
Accidentally. Yep. Some of that. Well, which kind of goes with the rest of our blossoming relationship.
You're getting affection candy from this person.
Yeah. Well, tell us the story that you were gonna tell.
Okay. So, context. The person that I've started dating is an RMT, registered massage therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And a really great one from everything I hear.
They have been my massage therapist, in fact, and when I had a terrible, terrible bout of like trauma anxiety stuff, they massaged my internal organs inside my body and like released a bunch of stuff, and I cried on the massage table, and then I felt so much better, and they were like very good at body work and craniosacral therapy, mm-hmm. and are super body positive
and
really
face.
Lovely. Like, oh god,
it's like
so good.
Like molecules of affection are pouring from the holes in your head.
I mean, to be fair, it is also warm in this room, but that's correct.
I am a scientist. I'm a feeling scientist.
So just to, like, have the context of the fact that they're a massage therapist, they're professional, and they're also, beyond just being a massage therapist, they are an anatomy nerd. Like, they fucking love just anatomy like, stuff.
Let
they
me just
nerd
touch
out.
Your iliosacrum sacculeata.
Okay, so... So one time... So here, I'll give another lead-in story to this, because sure. It's just so good.
Okay.
One of the... Not maybe the first time, but early on in us, like, making out, I think I, like, bit their finger or something, and then they just, like, stuck their finger in my mouth and started poking various parts of my mouth and telling me what they were. They were like, oh, yeah, well, oh, yeah, that's your such and such, and this is
your temporomandibular joint.
And you're like, oh, do you mind if I, interesting. Oh, that's a much smoother than any, oh, I see, it's because your this connects to your that over here. That's interesting, it doesn't usually
do that.
They were
just analyzing the anatomy inside your mouth?
Like, while we were making out, they, like, put their fingers in my mouth and, like, touched various parts of my mouth and told me about
that. That's literally a Neutral Milk Hotel song that you just enacted.
Yes. Let me put my fingers in your mouth and we kiss, and I'll tell you what your muscles are.
Well, almost.
I don't know the song.
Oh,
I was just
God.
Speculating.
It's the... I don't know. There's, like, one part where it's, like, tracing fingers through the notches in your spine, and then there's a something about, like, whatever, your mouth moves, whatever. I know all the words, but they're really long songs and you have to get to them. So never mind. Carry on with your story. That's a digression.
Context. More context. Yep. So then another time, I don't think it was the same time, I'm not sure exactly what led up to it and whether or not it's podcast friendly, but at a certain point, they were lying on their stomach and I was like, and with their shirt up, maybe all their clothes off actually. And I was like sitting kind of on their, like on their butt. And I was like, just touching their back. And then mm-hmm. I just started telling them stuff about their back, just like making up complete bullshit and all of the most like nonsense words, but that sounded really legit. And so it was so hilarious. So I would just be touching their back and be like, oh, wow, you've got a lot of tension in your skyphoid process. Interesting. And they'd be like, uh-huh. What was that called? I'm like, your skyphoid process. Interesting. And so what is that? What does that do? What's its significance? I'm like, well, you know, and then we'd just go on. And so
they were doing some sweet improv.
Yeah.
Sweet, sexy improv.
Yes, exactly.
Sexy anatomy improv.
I can relatively convincingly bullshit about quite a number of topics.
How about the amount of toilet paper rolls in your house?
I could have bullshit about that. I just didn't care
sometimes we run out and I have to wipe my butt with the roll itself.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's happened.
Yeah.
Like, why would I lie about what my life is? Oh my God, okay, she did it.
She counted them?
How many did I say?
37.
It was 26.
Okay.
Okay, in my bathroom or everywhere? Well, regardless, my bathroom, 12 and a half. Your bathroom, 10.5. Miscellaneous around the house, 3. Total, 26. Did you win the bet? 2 question marks. I love you so much. I did not win the bet.
That she categorized them.
But you won my heart.
Also my heart. See, and my heart too.
And Hillary's.
And Christina's.
And Chris's.
Yeah. It's very important that... Take her this eraser.
Okay, I'm gonna... I don't know why I'm talking to the baby. I'm bringing you this eraser home. I got so confused. I was typing to her. Okay, that was fun. That was great. Interaction. A call-in show, you know? Except that I called out and was like, I made rules! I was right that we had a lot, though. 26 is quite a
few.
That's
quite a few, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that she codified it. Was like, well, there's 3.5 of mine, and so-and-so, 3 around the house.
I'm sorry, it was 12.5.
That she took so 0.5. Sorry.
I love her so much.
No, that's so good. That's so good.
I love her so much.
Oh no, you're having so many feelings.
Right now. God, so many.
Yeah.
I love my wife I've been with for like 8.5 years.
Gross.
Love it.
Yeah, she's good. So your skyphoid process is connected to your butt bone.
Oh gosh, I did a whole thing where I was like, and your leg bone's connected to your knee bone, and then like pointed to all, and like traced my hand up and pointed to where everything was. And sometimes we'll play a game where we'll just be like lying cuddling, and I'll just like put my finger on their back, be like, what's this? And they'll be like, you know, mandibular, whatever. No, it wouldn't be because it's your jaw, but whatever. I don't know muscles. It's like, I can only bullshit.
That's my scalenes.
And so I will just like, and sometimes they'll be like, press harder. And they'll be like, this. I can just point anywhere on their body and they'll be, once I poked my finger into their armpit and they were like, I don't know. And I was like, ha, you don't know. They're like, there's a lot of things in there. And I was like,
how about armpit?
But yeah, it's a fun game. So yeah, that's cool what it reminded me of. The whole like, just making shit up. Oh, yeah.
That's good.
So cute.
There's a lot of really cute things with this person. Yeah.
It seems like you guys are having a lot of fun.
I'm fucking smitten as hell.
It's a great feeling. It's also sort of the worst feeling because it's so frantic
sometimes. Not for me. No. Everything about it is great. That's no downside. Good.
Whenever I like someone, it exhausts me because I'm just like, the whole time. So.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Maybe less so now. I haven't like gotten a serious crush on a new person and been like single. At the time, we're like really available, so it was never gonna be like, I'm gonna spend my life with this person. It's just kind of like, nice, but
I mean, I don't think I'm ever like, I'm gonna spend my life with this person.
No, so but maybe that is the sort of heteronormative, monogamistic way of doing things.
But not you're just really like, this person is so sweet, and I like that the two of you are very just explicit about it. Just like, let's have a date where we're dating.
Yeah. It was really cute. So the whole way that I asked them on a date is also really cute.
Please.
Sure. I was at
this
a...
This is good dating tips for people to be really clear with their
So
dating.
I have been... I'm not monogamous. I have been trying to do some more dating where I live because you know what's convenient when you can actually see someone you care about a lot on a regular basis.
Not to cross that international border to see
or,
them.
Or, you know, drive an hour. So... And I was also just feeling like, hey, it would be good for me if I had more kind of like date, sex, romance relationships in my life. And so I put a thing out on Facebook and was like, hey, world, just a heads up. I'm looking to date some more people.
And you laid, some intentions. You laid out your criteria.
Yeah, I did,
and
actually.
And it was the best criteria ever.
Yeah, and so I was like, I don't remember off the top of my head.
Using the fuck secret.
But it was just like super cuties and... Also, if they have dogs that I can pet, that would be great.
Yeah, so basically I was like, hey, if you want to ask... Because this annoying thing that happens to me, and it's happened to me a number of times, is that people will be like... I'll be like, yeah, I don't know. Like, no one asks me out. Like, it doesn't happen. And I'll be like, yeah, I don't know. I just don't really know if anyone wants to date me. And people are like, oh my gosh, Hillary, so many people want to date you. I know about so many people want to date you. I'll be like, okay, because I don't. And so who are they? And how is that useful to me to know? Secret people... Legions of secret singles in your area.
Oh my god, the ads were right the whole time?
Yeah, but they
were trying to help this whole time.
Yeah. But the thing is, so it's like, well, that's cool, but like, if I don't know, I don't know. So I was kind of like, hey, I want to date people. If you want to date me, you should let me know. Also, if you know people I should date, you should let me know. Also, if you want to like matchmake or some shit, you should let me know.
Get involved.
And then, yeah get involved. In your
it takes
community.
A village to get hill laid.
a little bit, sometimes. And so, yeah, I also put in a comment and was like, hey, here's some things I'm looking for that I would be especially interested in. Just because I'm very picky about, I'm very, as my dating profiles say, I'm picky about personalities, not about genitals. But I'm very picky about personalities.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, so I was at a friend's birthday party in December, and somehow the fact that I had posted about this came up in conversation with some people who were there. And, you know, because people were talking about, oh, I thought that was really cool how you just put it out there. And I was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, well, does it work? And I'm like, I mean, hasn't really so far, but doesn't hurt, you know. And it also kind of is like an accountability to me, too, to be like, yes, I'm trying to date. You told other people you were. You got to. Try. And my very good friend, my sister, my dumpling sister, Lil Dumpling.
They have matching dumpling tattoos.
We do.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to say.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm just like not saying people's
names. I mean, we are going to get her on the podcast sometime, but
nice.
Yeah.
We'll let that be then.
Yeah.
Keep listening.
So Lil Dumpling was like, hey, so how do you feel about matchmaking? And I was like, I feel great about it. I think I even explicitly said, like, set me up with people. And so, you know, conversation continued on and she was pretty quiet. And then a little while later, she was like, so I've been thinking about who you should date this entire time.
I figured it out.
We were all like, okay. And she was like, do you know this person? And I was like, wait, this person, like, with this last name, like, this very particular person? And my face just, like, went bright red with blushing, because I'm a hella blusher. I'm probably blushing right now just talking about blushing.
Yeah.
Real. And so they were like, do you know this person? And I was like, yeah. And then they were like, well, I don't know, I just think that the two of you would get along really well, and I think that you're similar in these ways and those ways. And I was just, like, increasingly blushing, because basically, as soon as they said the person's name, I was like, oh my god, of course! But I honestly don't know if I ever would have come up with it myself, because it's one of those things where we'd kind of vaguely known about each other, and then we met, and the first time we met was really cute, and then we've, like, started to get to know each other just a little bit, and every time I've, like, interacted with them or talked with them, I'd be like, wow, this person's really cool. I really, like, want to get to know them more. I hope that we can develop a friendship. I hope that we can, like, you know, whatever. But it just had not occurred to me to do dates.
Mash all
there's
crazy
a lot,
hand gestures in there.
There's a lot of hand gestures going on from Katie's end. No, those things had not occurred to me. I think I was just like, well... I guess, I hope that we could do a friendship. I hope that whatever. And then as soon as Lil Dumpling suggested them, I was like, yep. and and I just was blushing furiously and, like, trying to burrow and hide underneath the couch blankets and cushions and stuff.
She really pushed the button for you, didn't
she? Yes, she did. And
it's pretty smart. And I was like,
fine, I'll do it.
A little bit of emotional intelligence in your little dumpling sister. Uh-huh. Just a tiny, tiny bit.
Basically and the most emotionally intelligent person I've ever met in my life.
And her partner was like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. That's really good. Oh, I don't know if I would have come up with... I was trying to think of somebody, but... Oh, I don't know if I would have come up with that. That's really good.
And so
I was like,
Okay,
I'm gonna put this on my to-do list, on Todoist, because I use Todoist now.
Fantastic.
Good app.
It's really good. And so I was like, I'm gonna put it on the list. And everyone was like...
Ask out, babe.
And everyone was like, okay, if you want to. And I was like, fine, I'm doing it. And they were like, okay, if you want to. And I was like, fine, I'll ask them out right now. I guess I'll do it. I'll ask them right now. And everyone's like, it's cool, I guess.
You do what you want.
And I was like, I'm doing it.
If you're going to make me do it, I'll do it now.
And everyone's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm asking them out. And they're like, right now?
Is this?
Yes. And so it was really cute.
That's so funny.
And so I sent them a message being like, hey, so your name came up at this birthday party. And I was thinking about how, do you want to go on a date? And apparently they had to read it like 4 or 5 times because they were like, wait, no, she doesn't mean like a date. Like, okay, but she did say date, right? But there's no way that she could be asking me out. She doesn't want to go on a date with me. I did. Listener, I did. And so they wrote back just like all caps with exclamation marks. Yes.
Oh my God. That's the perfect response for you.
Yeah.
It's lovely. Like unfettered joy.
Yeah. Yes.
Feel all your feelings as hard as you can.
And then we couldn't go. And then we couldn't go on a date for like 2 weeks because I had 2 partner visits.
Womp womp.
But it was great. And then as soon as we went on a date, we were like, "So, when's our next date?" We're like, "I guess in a week from now." And then a few hours later, we were like, "Wow, a week is really long. So how about in 2 days?" So we went on a date on a Wednesday. And then on Friday, and then on a Wednesday, and then on Friday, and then on a Sunday, and then on a Wednesday, and then on a Saturday, and then on a Wednesday, and then yesterday was Thursday, and they picked me up from work.
Good times.
Anyways, so there's a rundown of my entire relationship with this person.
So far, so good?
So far, so excellent. Basically, as soon as we went on our first date, we confirmed with each other, like, so, wow, I'm really glad that we got this first date out of the way, so we're in a relationship now. But both of us were, like, not wanting to be all, like, weird about it. But by the end of our third date, we were like, so, like, I kind of feel like we're dating now. And then the other person was like, oh, good, because I also have maybe already been telling people we're dating.
That's so cute.
We talk so much about our feelings and needs.
Ew.
Ah!
Gross.
I shared my Google Docs. Where Whoa. I have lists of my feelings and needs.
Yes, I love your feelings and needs document.
And they were like, this is amazing.
Been shared with me?
No, do you want one?
I especially would just like to see the structure of it to see,
so
like...
So, I have just shared these with people to see the
structure.
I'm very
bad at knowing what my needs
and
wants are.
It's the good emotional, like... I can't think of the word. But, like, you had this beautiful spreadsheet of, like, here are the ways that I like to receive affection.
Yeah,
and
so
help and assistance.
It's basically
love.
A list of things that I interpret as love and care and affection.
Yeah.
Love languages.
Yeah. Because different people do different, like, do and appreciate different things. So
yeah.
Trying to learn how to be specific about that.
Yeah.
And so I literally have a Google Doc where I list out different things that feel good to me. And so
it's wonderful.
I have shared this with people both to be like, hey, so maybe these are things you would want to know. And then also to people to be like, hey, did you want to see how I did this?
Yeah.
And so I shared it with them and they were like, wow, this is great. I'm going to make one.
Yeah.
That's so
and
cool.
So then they like spend a bunch of time working on it.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a sex one, just, you know.
Gotta have a sex spreadsheet.
That
one was actually way harder for me to come up with because I'm actually way shyer about asking for things in a sex contest.
Yeah.
Context.
A sex contest.
I don't know if I'd be more or less shy in a contest. But,
it doesn't matter what it is. It could be like, it would be like a sexual act or where do you want to go for dinner? Both of those things are like equally hard for me to say to somebody that I care about.
Yeah.
because I just, like, I've been divorced from desire in such a big way in my life. Like, I've had to, like, oh, what I want to eat so much, but it's not okay to want to eat so much. And it's like, I want so much validation and affection, but it's not okay to be needy. It's like, oh, no, well, the problem doesn't come from being needy. It comes from being needy, but not expressing it, and then being furious at people for not getting what you want.
Yeah.
Not understanding it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I still feel weird and needy when I ask for things, but my wife is very good about helping me to be good about that. And, like, people have been very responsive to it's me doing it in life. Process. Where I'm like, hey, this is really uncomfortable for me, but I'm having an issue with this thing that we talked about last week, and I don't feel comfortable with how it went down, so can we just, like, sort that out? People have been very good about it.
Mm-hmm. A thing that I have been reframing for myself, because I often feel like, oh, God, I'm so needy, and then I'll be like, by that, do you mean has needs?
Yeah.
By, God, Hillary, you're so needy, do you mean has any needs at all? Because, yeah. To quote a very inspirational tweet, you do not have to aspire to be low maintenance because you are not a car, but a human woman.
Who wrote that?
That's a Muscati tweet.
A who?
She runs Critique My Dick Pic.
Oh, I love Critique My Dick Pic.
Yeah. Like, she also says a lot of good things.
Yeah.
She rates a lot of good things on Twitter.
But I love that. It's like, yeah, low maintenance is for cars, not for people.
Yeah, low maintenance is for cars, not for people. You're not a car. Yeah. You don't have to aspire to be low maintenance.
Yeah, I think what makes people frustrated with quote-unquote needy people is when they're not expressing their needs, but they have them, and the need for it, or the want is so strong that it's palpable, but you can't know what somebody else wants, and you keep giving them the wrong thing, and they get upset with you, so then you get upset with them for being needy.
Yeah.
When it's really just a lack of communication.
Well, and part of it is that we're so conditioned and, like, basically taught that it is wrong. I think especially in a North American context, because there's this whole individualism thing
where it's time.
Like, you got to be able to make it on your own. Yeah. And so it's like, well, if you need things from other people, that's not, like, successful individualism.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, and so you're not strong if you need help with anything at all, which is, like, literally a thing that kills men.
Yeah.
Is because they won't they won't talk about their feelings. They don't
go to
doctors. And so, but, like, yeah, it's funny. If, so, like, long elderly couples, if, like, when a wife dies, usually the husband will die more quickly, but if a husband dies, it doesn't make the woman die quicker.
Yeah, their life expectancy remains unchanged, or gets longer, I've heard.
And then they all just date each other, because it's cute.
Old lesbians!
Gosh, I hope so. Yeah. I fucking hope so, guys.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
But, yeah.
But it's good to ask for, or at least to identify what you want, and then I really like about your list to be like, hey, you know, when I reach out to people, I'm like, hey, I kind of need some help, or I'm just not feeling great right now, and it's like, here are some concrete things that people can do that would make me feel really loved and appreciated. It's like, and they're not complicated things. It's like, come over and sit with me and do a quiet activity together.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of it is because it's really my American partner that really, really helped me with this, in that she was very like, so, what do you actually want or need? Because she was like, I want to help. I don't understand what you want. Like, I don't understand what feels nice to you. And I had just spent so much time really minimizing my own needs and my own, like, desires or whatever. Like, oh, cool, what space is available for me? Wow, what a coincidence that it perfectly and exactly fits my every need and desire.
Oh, God.
You're like, that's cool. I'll just prune myself into the shape.
Oh.
Like, yeah, that's my life.
Not a sympathy noise. That's a namaste noise. That is I recognize myself in this.
Uh-huh.
That is, like, my soul fucking greets your soul, Hillary.
Yep. And where it's like, wow, okay, so what does it feel like to take up as much space as you want or need?
That sounds so scary!
It is fucking frightening.
Oh, that sounds so scary.
It's really scary.
I got those only child needs, coupled with those youngest child attention requirements.
But it's like, I don't know. But just hearing from a partner really consistently, like, yeah, I understand that's scary, but, like, take up more space. And because the thing is, like, it's hard, but it's worth the work, apparently. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of work. It's good.
Yeah, yeah. It's that, it comes back to that the self-care that isn't fun, like, to start with, anyway. Yeah. It's like, it's not as cool as unwrapping a bath bomb and having a nice little soak.
I've got
have to do the gross work.
I've got a whole blog post on my Google Docs only blog. I could share with both of you about that.
I'd love to hear that. The actual work of stuff. We talked about it on the podcast a lot. Like, the actual self-care kind of sucks. Like, it sucks to make doctor's appointments and go to them and go to therapist appointments and cry and then get on the SkyTrain and come home with your mascara.
Self-care or self-indulgence? That's the thing for me.
Because self-care is, like, it's not... I mean, self-care can include self-indulgence.
Yeah. But it's, like... But if it's just, like, indulging your feeling, whether that's... Because self-care is, like, taking care of yourself. So if you're, like... I'm a piece of shit. Like, doing, like, buying yourself something nice is self-care. It's not indulging the feeling of I'm a piece of shit.
Sure, yeah.
It's not indulging that feeling.
Yeah, it's almost the opposite. It's like, exactly. You're not, you deserve a nice thing.
Opposite action.
Yeah, and, I mean, the self-indulgence / self-care distinction, I think, is really important. And self-indulgence can definitely be an aspect of self-care, but, like, the actual, I think of it as, like, I split myself into two people when I think about self-care, where it's, like, the part of me that feels scared and small and weak is like a small child, and the part of me that's capable is like I go to a mother just because like I'm a woman and that's how I would conceptualize it for myself. So I have to mother myself a little bit and be like, I know what's best for you, and you might not like it, but so that's what we have to do right now. Like, we're going to the goddamn dentist. You can ask for a sticker when you're done, but you have to go. So I go and I get my goddamn sticker.
I've been thinking, that just made me think of a time where very specifically I was having like a shitty day. I was just feeling terrible. Like, I have chronic mental health stuff, and it's just one of those things where I was like, no, well, you're going to have to eat or whatever. Like, part of me was like, well, you're going to have to eat. And I was so fucking angry. I wasn't just like a 5-year-old. I was like a really just vengeful teenager. I was so angry. I was so angry at myself. And I'm like walking around the kitchen, making myself a snack and like just filled with rage. Just like, fuck.
Just the angriest nachos of all time.
Yeah. And so it was just like, I just did all these like nice, good things to take care of myself and was really angry about it, but I did it.
But you did it because you need to keep yourself alive.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know.
It's a beautiful thing when certain things become easier, like when asking for what you want becomes easier, when you've done the hard work of self-care, and then it starts to sort of slide into place and becomes your new normal. That's when you reap the benefits. But getting there is so fucking hard sometimes.
You reap the benefits along the way too, I think.
It's true, but when you wake up kind of one day and realize, like, this is my habit now, like, this is something that's, it's something I can do without thinking about it and forcing myself to do it. That's a really satisfying moment where you're like, this is just part of my life now. This is the thing I do.
Yeah.
Which is something I really like.
Yeah. Fair.
Fair.
Mm. Yeah. Emotional labor, y'all.
Noises of ascent.
Indeed.
I have so many podcasts worth of things to say about emotional labor and interpersonal relationships.
We can do so many more episodes. So, like, we'll have you back.
This is basically just, like, the overture episode.
This is get to know Hillary a little bit.
Where,
know Hill.
Where you're like, you know, later you're going to be like, I recognize that leitmotif. And you're like, wait, that whole section was just a sample from this later podcast.
The what podcast?
This later podcast.
Oh, the later podcast. I thought you said the Slater podcast.
I mean,
like, we've got a whole podcast just about AC Slater.
I mean, you can. I won't be a useful guest for that, but
be like, he wore a lot of tank tops. Like to sit backwards on a chair.
That's more than I know about him.
Well,
so
then I'm gonna start my own Slater cast. I'll call it Slater Kinney.
I was going to say you could talk about A.C. Slater and Slater-Kinney, like, just those two things.
Slater-Kinney. Or is it Slater-Kinney?
I don't know.
I could ask Corin Tucker, but we're not friends.
Okay. I don't know what
she knows
means.
What she did.
I don't know what that means.
She's just one of the musicians in Slater-Kinney. Oh, okay. Well, guys.
This has been a joyously exhausting podcast.
Yeah. Thank you, friends.
I was already tired. This podcast didn't make me tired.
You can tell at the end we're all just like, well, let's go to bed.
It's fucking 9:30 on Friday night. It's been a long goddamn week, but I loved ending it with you guys.
Yeah.
What a nice time.
Same.
I knew that I was going to be really tender this week, so I was like, Hillary, would you come and do the podcast? Because then I'll be surrounded by friends, and then if I cry, we can just pause it. But I didn't cry
the
whole
time. You didn't cry.
I actually feel pretty good and pretty calm and pretty chill, so.
Yeah, good.
Can I give you guys a kiss?
The chocolate.
From Santa. Chocolate kiss from Santa. You thought it was a kiss like with a mouth, and it wasn't.
I told my niece Sweetie that I was, and they pointed at their mouth, and I was like, that's where the kisses go. And they were like, inside my mouth? And I was like, yeah. And then I like, we were having a video chat, and then I turned it around, and I was holding a thing of Hershey's kisses. But they didn't break up with me.
Oh, good. You don't get dumped for puns.
That sounds adorable.
It's pretty funny.
And I think that's where we're going.